Hey everybody, welcome to a special episode of the Comic Book Legion podcast where we're going to be talking about... There was a bomb was dropped yesterday in the comic book world. The one that will be impacted the most is our beloved DC Comics, and that is with the news of Dan DiDio being removed. Or did he... You know, or did he step down as co-publisher?
There's conflicting info. There is no actual statement or word from DC other than actually confirming that he is gone. Now, we have, just like we've heard conflicting reports on the actual leaving of DC, there is a lot of conflicting opinions on this issue of Dan DiDio leaving DC Comics. And, well, first off, let's go ahead and talk about our reactions. Now, I believe I'm the one that showed you for the very first time, right?
I don't want to compare things, but I'm going to... Because it's not fair to compare something like this to someone who passed...
Uh-huh.
But my jaw dropped about the same, just like, I mean, maybe the same amount of distance than when someone texted me about the news of Kobe passing away.
Dude. Yeah.
Dude, I was completely, and again, this is not the same, I'm not trying to compare, but it's just not a text message that you're expecting to see.
Yeah.
And if so, not on a Friday at like 1 p.m. or whatever time it was.
It was really odd timing. Now, I will say, you know, we are talking about Dan DiDio today, but I will say there was, let's see here, a total of, let me see if I can find it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 layoffs in DC. Now, they are all editors, along with the co-publisher Dan DiDio, or DiDio. Mm-hmm. How do you say that? Is it DiDio?
I mean, I've heard DiDio, I've heard DiDio. So sometimes it's kind of like whichever way my brain processes how to say his name. So I'll probably say it differently 4 times during this episode.
Yeah, so along with him, 4 or 5 other editors have left DC. I know that Alex Antone.
Yeah, he went to like Skybound.
Yeah, he went to Skybound. Yeah. That hit, I think, yesterday or early all this news hit yesterday. But the Alex Antone was either earlier that day or the day before. I can't remember. But, you know, it looks like DC is cleaning shop. And a lot of people are expecting...
Well, this also goes with, I believe it was in January, that AT&T laid off about, I believe it was 240 employees in the comics division.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, we've been seeing little by little, I mean, like last year where DC has been doing a lot of, I've been seeing it on Bleeding Cool where they're just like canceling like a lot of prints for omnibuses and stuff like that, which were, you know, ones that
omnibuses, trades.
Yeah, that a lot of people kind of like these... You know, the exclusive volumes of certain stories, and, you know, it seems, based on the reactions, I mean, of those kind of stories, I'm like, man, why would they be, you know, why would they be just dropping it? But it just seems like, you know, little by little, priorities continue, you know, are just constantly shifting. But it's one of these things, I mean, with Comics Pro happening right now, or about to happen in C2E2, and you've been hearing Dan speaking in regards to the future of DC. I think that's why it hit me so hard, because it looked like he was really still invested.
Yeah, you know, and I will say this, you know, my opinion on this, you know, when I first saw it, I was almost like you. It was almost that thing that's like, oh, this is definitely a hoax. Like, this is definitely a rumor that somebody has started just because, I guess, something else from 5G has come up that they don't like. So, but then I started seeing more trades report it, and I saw more comic creators start talking about it, and I was like, oh, snap, this is real.
Yeah.
And that's when I sent you the screenshot. Now, with, you know, this news, you know, everybody is saying, and I say everybody, but a majority of people are saying how much high energy Dan had for comics in general.
Well, I mean, if you see him in a convention, the dude is a bolt of lightning. Like, it's actually very infectious.
Really?
Like, he's like one of those guys that if you see him,
he's a hype man.
Yeah, he's 100% a hype man. So it was always nice to see. And then for me, I don't know if this is like the Latin in me, where, you know, like a lot of Latins, like they were not saying that only Latins do, but Latin people in general, they like really revere like their elders. So mm-hmm. we are like 100% pro grandparents. We love hearing advice from the elders. I mean, they're the ones that have lived longer. They're the ones who have done it already. So when I would see him speak about just certain creators and seeing the way that he treats some of the older creators that are there in conventions, I don't know. It was really endearing that it's one of the reasons why I've always liked him. And I've always kind of considered myself, even if I didn't really agree with the creative decisions, I always kind of considered myself a Dan DiDio, like, apologist.
See, I have not been able to know him very well, other than what he has written in New 52 and, of course, Rebirth, and currently now, you know, with Metalman and everything else. Now, you know, we made the joke yesterday that, you know, a lot of people, as soon as they read a book that they don't like, or there's a big event that they don't like, or something just happens within DC, Dan is the one person that everybody blames. Everybody.
And it looks like he embraced it.
Yeah, you know, there was a comment from Gail Simone. I actually have it up here. She says, "So Bleeding Cool is reporting that Dan DiDio is no longer affiliated with DC Comics. I like Dan very much. We disagreed on a lot, but he did a lot that others took credit for. And when things went bad, he often took the blame when he didn't deserve it. I wish him every success." So I could very much see that. I could very much see Dan, you know, things not going very well. And we kind of saw that with, you know, the Doomsday Clock stuff. We saw that with a lot of the New 52 stuff. Whenever there was bad rep, we always saw him at the next convention try to ease people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Always, always, always. So, you know, and the creator reactions is something that I kind of wanted to talk about because, you know, we see Gail Simone having the support for him and everything else. Gary Conway, whatever you feel about Dan DiDio, pro or con, it's a shame that after so many years of loyal and enthusiastic service, he wasn't given a proper acknowledgement or send-off. There are graceful ways to let someone exit, and then there's this. So some people are upset, and then I will say, even Jeff Lemire, he said, Dan DiDio was a supporter and champion of my work from day one. He kept Sweet Tooth alive and gave me the first chances at writing comics in 2010. Wish him all the best. DC won't be the same without his passion. Now, things considered, there's a lot of people giving him grace. Now, I will say, there is one in particular soul that wasn't so very happy. And, well, it's the complete opposite. It's actually, he was quite happy that Dan DiDio had left. Rob Liefeld, we are both blocked from him, but somebody screenshotted his responses.
No, I'm not blocked. I'm not blocked. I'm not I haven't had that honor that so many people, I guess, look for.
Now, he says here, Dan DiDio was holding DC back for years. This is the best outcome. His second tweet: what took so long, so much damage, so many bad decisions? Third tweet: please, please let the door hit you on the way out. Fourth tweet: all hands praising when somebody said co-publisher Dan DiDio is no longer at DC Comics.
I mean, for me, besides how unprofessional it is, I think that Liefeld has kind of, you know, It's really strange because when you meet him in person, he's a really nice guy. Or at least the two times that I've met him, like, at the table. Like, he's really nice and really personable. So I don't know if he's kind of just...
I think he's become the hot takes guy.
I think he's become kind of a hot takes guy, but I think it's also it's coming from a sour place, considering I think he had, like, three pitches to DC.
Three or four.
And each one got denied.
Each one got denied, and then Bendis came over and took two of them, I think.
Oh, okay. That part I didn't know. I just remember him kind of doing the sour grapes with the fact that he, you know, that he was rejected multiple times.
Because I think that he, like, made a comment about when Bendis's book came out. That's when he made the announcement that that was one of his pitches. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So, I mean, and then even so, I mean, there's a lot of creators as well that while praising him, I mean, even like someone like Scott Snyder, he's like, listen, I believe Tim Seeley also posted it. He's like, listen, we've had some nuclear fights over the years, but above all, you know, it was always like, although they were like massive disagreements, it was always amicable. And, you know, they were, it was like...
Yeah, and you hear it all the time, you know, somebody who has been kind of, you know, vocal about their relationship with Dan is Tom King. You know, Tom King, I know you posted the comment about how he took care of the older creators.
Yeah.
But King, along with this whole, you know, Batcat thing, when it all blew up, and, you know, moving forward with his writing career, you know, he would go to Dan... I know that the Superman Up in the Sky Walmart book, you know, the really big story there was that there was a child involved that had been abducted and sent off into space. And Dan one night apparently told King, you know, they were out drinking or whatever. And he said, hey, if you want to kill off that little kid, that'll be totally fine with me. And, you know, they're just like joking around and things like that. But Dan understands, you know, certain writers and their styles and, you know, what they want to do. And he can only go so far as a co-publisher, you know. Mm-hmm. He knows that these books are set for a certain range, and there's been a lot of people complaining that they're too dark. There's some people complaining that they're not dark enough. So he has to find that balance. With that balance, he found, you know, Black Label. First book didn't work out that well, you know. But everything else, I think, has worked out pretty well. And other than the fact that some of them are taking a little bit longer to make and setting up some delays, you know, he did come out and say, hey, we're fixing all that and we're, you know, making them come pretty fast. And so far this year in 2020, January and February, I know it's only 2 months, but everything has come out on schedule. So
no, for sure. So before we kind of, I guess, discuss a little bit more on it, would you want me to go first? Like, what was your thought on it?
Like, my thought on...
Like, the thought on... You heard the news. Like, is this something that you're pro him out? Are you against it? Like, where do you go?
I am pro for it. Now, you know, as I said, I am not pro somebody losing their job. I think that always sucks. Especially like Gary Conway said... That, you know, there's certain ways to do things, and this is almost like how, you know, Tom King got off the Batman book. You know, it just kind of is thrown out there into the world, and then everybody talks about it, and then they're like, oh, well, since everybody knows, it has to happen now. So, I didn't like how it happened, because DC has yet to say anything about it, but... I am for it because I know that there was a lot of pressure on the guy, and maybe I can stop, you know, hearing all the complaining comments, and hopefully there can be somebody who can step into that position and, you know, move forward with something a lot more people can enjoy. Because although, you know, we haven't heard anything about 5G in so long, I am almost like, eh, about it right now. Like, I'm still interested and kind of frightened at the idea because of how many things are changing. But as of right now, this is the calm before the storm.
I mean, and I've heard a nugget about 5G that, I mean...
Oh, really?
I can address it after, like, after you give your point.
Yeah. So, you know, because, you know, the news of 5G hit out and, you know, people were 50-50 on that. And, you know, the directions things seemed to be going in, it didn't seem like a very positive reaction. And so I think this reaction, having Dan leave DC, is quite possibly to help, you know, a correction course into whatever direction they need to go. Now, for whoever is going to fill in that spot, I think we have conversations about that coming down the line. But what did you think? What do you...
I mean, I don't... Like, I can see... Like, I don't know, man. I'm, and I don't want to be the one like, oh, I'm in the middle.
Well, I know. You just said that you were a Dan apologist, so I completely understand if you are. But with looking at what we have seen with... Because, you know, we are somewhat inside baseball on this. And so we do see the stuff behind the scenes. So what would you think, or what did you think, like, just initial thought?
I agree that we needed a change. Just because okay. I wasn't a fan of what was coming with 5G, or what might still come. But I also was not a fan of... At times, DC felt a little reactionary.
Yes.
That when things were feeling reactionary based on perception, it, you know, it was kind of following suit. Now, again, I don't know. Is that all him? I mean, again, Dan's got bosses too.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, since Dan is co-publisher, you know, these things that happen to our favorite characters, it's all his fault. You know, like I said, they blame him a lot. But some people, just because they like their favorite character and something happens to their favorite character, they automatically assume Dan hates that character.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen that a lot with, you know, reaction to Wally West, reaction to Nightwing. You know, ever since Dick Grayson got shot, there was all these people saying, oh, I've always heard that Dan hates Nightwing. Or... He's always hated Dick Grayson. He's always hated Dick Grayson. Like, where is the evidence for this? I want to know, where did he say, or what comments were made?
I mean, if we go by that route, we have to say, based on, like, people's reactions, that Dan hates Aquaman. Because yeah. It seems like nobody likes what's going on with Aquaman right now, so Dan hates Aquaman. I mean, yeah. There's ebbs and flows to a character story, and you know what? Sooner or later, I mean, I actually learned to appreciate the story. But for a long time, I thought the Superman stuff, like with Superman Grounded, I mean, with me being older now, I kind of like appreciate that story more. But I was like, dude, are we really going a whole year and Superman's not using his powers? He's just walking?
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, that's the way I thought. I was like, man, this is stupid. This is like a horrible, horrible idea. Or, yeah. You know what? Superman's gone and now Superman is being run by Nightwing. And Nightwing and like Firebird or something like that.
Yeah.
And you had Mon-El was now Superman. You had Lex Luthor on Action Comics. I was like, but I don't know. The more I was reading it, I actually enjoyed it. And you know what? There are people that do enjoy this whole Rick Grayson. I mean, I personally don't, but there are people that do. If not, it wouldn't be in like the top 20, top 25 in selling.
I mean, and it is.
It is. I mean, people are still reading it. Now... I don't know, so I'm conflicted because, you know, like, Paul Levitz retired. Now, yes, he retired, I believe it was, like, in 2010, and that's kind of when Dan, like, his big initiative was the New 52 with Jim Lee. But he was one of the big, I think he was, like, the vice president of, like, the editors at that time. I mean, he was integral to my fandom.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say, yes, so was Levitz. And, I mean, I loved Paul Levitz. But that's just where it is. I mean, so this guy, I have a personal personal connection with my fandom. So there are many, many, many great stories. Some of the all-time best that you hear people talk about when they talk about top tens. They all happened in his era, And when you're hearing these creators, you know, like praising him, it looked like he had a big reason for it.
For sure.
He had a big hand in play. So it's kind of like, man. So then the other part of me, and it could just be that I'm kind of like I'm not really the biggest risk taker kind of guy. So I'm kind of conservative on that end, where in my mind, I'm like, listen, sometimes, and I post it, I mean, the grass isn't always greener. We don't know what the future lies.
Oh my God.
Now, no, like, and I know where you're taking it, but I'm just saying, like, we have no idea where this is going to go.
And there has been numerous, like, names thrown out there already. And, you know, I will go ahead and say it, and a lot of you probably already know where this is going, but my first scary thought was, oh crap, Bendis is going to move up the ladder super quick. And, you know, apparently there was somebody from, I believe, AT&T, like a female name was thrown out there.
That part I don't know. The one that I have has to do with AT&T, but that's not. But it had nothing to do with a potential replacement. So that part you would have to educate me on.
Oh really? What was your thing?
Okay, this was okay. Now I'm not a believer in cosmic book news.
Okay.
Like I don't believe in the stuff that they post. But I clicked it anyways. Because it mentioned about DC being in trouble. And it looks like the comic division is on the verge of being shut down. So I was like, okay, the title has enticed me a bit for me to at least.
I actually had not an argument, but a very small discussion about this exact thing with some random person yesterday on Twitter.
Okay. So when I clicked on the article, this has to do with Ethan Van Sciver. Now, Ethan Van Sciver, now for those who know, before all this Comicsgate stuff happened, he was like a fan favorite. And then he kind of brought his politics into it. And, you know, believe what you want to believe. Okay. But he started bringing his politics and things got pretty sour. He left. And now he's kind of like, I have Comicsgate muted, so I don't know anything of what's going on. Even if that's still a battle, I don't know.
Yeah.
But this article from Cosmic Book News, they kind of like screenshotted and they did a whole bunch of stuff, posting conversations that Sciver has had. Now, Van Sciver in the past, and I only know this because I believe Bleeding Cool has posted things before. Certain things that he has predicted actually was true. And I actually think he was one of those people that knew about 5G possibly happening before it even happened. He mentioned from people that he still knows within the industry, really, really deep in, because DC Comics is failing in terms of, you know, market shares and all that kind of stuff, that it's kind of bleeding and it's not really a profitable resource anymore. Uh-huh. And that if 5G fails, AT&T will sell. They're going to sell or shut down DC Comics. That doesn't mean the characters are going away.
Yeah, because they still own them.
They still owe them. It's just the comic book division will drop. So you're thinking about, wow, this is potentially 80 years, 81 years. It's done. Yeah. Unless there is a buyer. I mean, we know in the past Marvel has struggled, DC has struggled, like this has happened in the past. Yeah. But now this is becoming a different medium. Which kind of led me to when IGN posted an article. And their article, which is one of the first ones that kind of said the news that this wasn't really a firing. It was more about him stepping down.
Yeah.
And it was more of him stepping down because Dan has always been known for being a traditionalist whose primary focus was taking care of the direct comics market. But now the company is moving its focus more towards brands and franchises. So a restructuring within the company is a possibility, but nothing has been decided as of yet. And then it talked about in January where DC laid off 3% of its workforce in a company restructure.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't want to believe that, because to me it's terrifying to know that my favorite company is at this point where, man, is it really here? But then I'm thinking about, man, is it a possibility? Like, why would Dan, out of nowhere, kind of step down? Maybe, you know, we see it with directors in movies all the time, creative differences.
And what, you think he jumped ship before he went down with everybody else?
Man, I would say, like, my father-in-law is a president of a university. I'm not going to say which university. And he knew about a year and a half before that when my wife was looking to get her master's to go to this school, he goes, listen, I know because I'm president here, you can get, like, some discounts with, you know, possibility of, like, tuition and stuff. This school, a year and a half, we're on the verge of potentially losing out on, like, losing our, oh my God, I had the word on my tongue. What makes a university legit? Accreditation. Sorry, yeah. There we go. We're on the verge of possibly losing our accreditation. And that was a year and a half before anything was, like, news. And he's like, I wouldn't come here. So, you never know if this is more like, hey, Dan, you know, like, even my dad in baseball. I mean, everything with analytics now, my dad is still old school. And a lot of old school baseball players and baseball coaches are having a tough time, you know, switching their mindsets into now everything is computers, everything is numbers, and people who know nothing about baseball are now taking over the baseball industry just because what a computer says. So can I see a guy who's been, if he's being looked at as a traditionalist, he's old school, and you're seeing people coming in, like AT&T, that know nothing about comics, and they're like, hey, listen, we have these awesome, fresh ideas, and we're going to, you know, franchises and this, and if his main priority has always been the market by itself, just comics. He doesn't care about the other stuff. He just worries about comics. And now they're trying to turn it into this trendy, you know, whatever they're trying to turn it into. Can I see him being like, kind of like, you know, Michael Scott when he hears about Saber and now they're selling printers? I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's not. So, I don't know. Maybe Dale went to his David Wallace and heard, you know, some news and he didn't like it. So, I don't know. But it's something to be concerned about.
I think it definitely, you know, the question has always come up. Always, always, always. When are comics going to die? And it's sad. It's super sad. But a lot of people always come up with the, oh, it's never going to happen. They survived the late 80s and early 90s. And so they will survive, you know, in today's medium and in the future.
Yeah, piracy now, is stronger than ever, though.
Huh?
Piracy. That's
yeah. Piracy is super strong now. You know, we have, you know, anybody can go to, you know, Google and just search something super quick. And, you know, on the same day it releases, it can be out. And it's disgusting. It's super disgusting for it. But, you know, I don't want it to be true, because I think that, you know, they can prevail in a market like this. You know, because my thing is, well, you know, yeah, there's 80 years of stories that people can be adapting into cartoons, movies, whatever. But what about the future? Like, people are going to get tired of some of those stories, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and that's not to say that we don't appreciate things like the Marvel Unlimited app or the DC Universe app because of the old stories. You know, it's something that we enjoy to, you know, read every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a scary thought. It's a definite scary thought for something as legitimate as DC Comics being there for 80 plus years. And one day AT&T just states, you know, DC shutting down.
Yeah.
That's going to be terrifying.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I don't know, because honestly, this is why I'm not paid the big bucks when it comes to, you know, you have just certain people, they love doing fan casts, they love putting people in roles, and I don't have that in me. And I don't have, you know, I don't have like a benchmark. I just know what I know. And for me, I know people don't want to keep on hearing this name, but I really do hope it's Geoff Johns, because I feel, and I think even Van Sciver, I mean, he even posted it. He's like on the article, he's like, listen, just give it to Geoff Johns, because that's going to be the only way that you'll be able to save this company. Is putting him in charge and letting him put restructure and putting structure into this world, and you know that it will stick. And I don't know. I agree. I mean, I do. I mean, he's the one person that I would want to be in charge of any sort of world building or restructuring. I would believe him the most.
Yeah.
The thing is that he put so much into Doomsday Clock, and now we don't really know what are the elements that can, you know, kind of give us an idea of this new restructured world. Like, is it going to be something where it has to do with now with, you know, the next crisis that we're getting? I don't know. Or is something going to happen? I don't know, because I feel like many people believe that Doomsday Clock already, with some of these changes that you've seen, that in a way it's retcon certain things, but it wasn't like a reboot. And also, I don't even know if AT&T is willing to go through another reboot. So, yeah. I don't know.
And that's the big question that everybody has. You know, what does this mean for 5G? Because, like I had said before, we haven't heard a lot. You know, there was a wave of news coming in from 5G, a whole wave of just new things coming out from Bleeding Cool, comicbook.com, all this stuff. And of course, you know, they didn't officially announce it, but they teased it at New York Comic Con last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, all that stuff came to a stop. We haven't heard much about it. And this news drops, and my immediate thought is, something's going to happen with 5G. Either it's going to stop completely, or the initial plans for 5G are going to change, but they'll still keep it named 5G, so that way people don't think, ooh, you know, something really did happen at DC. You know, trying to save face. But it is something to think about. You know, we as readers, we as fans, sometimes we very much appreciate a reboot because it's something that's definitely needed. Or we, of course, have been enjoying the last few years and we want some changes, but we don't want a complete change, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, if you needed to have your choice, what would you want?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I have
found... All right, I will say this. Would you prefer having a new 52 kind of beginning?
Or a rebirth type of beginning?
Or a rebirth type of beginning where you have elements of what you've loved in the past in you know, with little twists. But it's there.
I would appreciate a rebirth reboot.
Me too.
Now, you know, I did make fun of Jim, you know, when he commented on your, you know, unpopular opinion about DC, you know, saying that DC doesn't reboot enough. But, you know, I think that in a way that's true. And people are like, what are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah.
Now, you know what's funny? That unpopular opinion. I think my first one in comics, I actually put, I like Dan DeDale. I just realized that. I did post that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that we should be, I don't think DC should be like Marvel, and after every six issues, there's a new number one. I definitely don't want that. What I do want is, just like how there is, generations, you know, the 1990s, the 2000s, the 2010s. And there seems to be, you know, a new type of genre that happens within every single one of those generations. I could appreciate, you know, hey, we know that 5 years has passed and, you know, the books that we have been reading. Let's start a new wave of number ones after, you know, 5 years, or not even number, like, I don't know, because, you know, the initial formula is every 2 to 4 years, the writers work towards an event, the event happens, and then, you know, we move forward for the new status quo. That's usually what happens. Mm-hmm. And around this time would be the time for that new status quo.
I mean, we have to remember that with Rebirth started in 2016.
Yeah.
Rebirth was supposed to end in 2018.
Yeah.
It was a 2-year window. Dan gave it the vision. Dan or John, Jeff Johns, I don't remember which one, but they're like, 2 years. This is a 2-year story arc. And because of everything going on, it expanded to, you know, a little more than 3 years. Yeah. So, you know, obviously you have to, you know, there's curveballs that are going to be happening in the middle. But, man, it's, I don't know, man. I still haven't, I guess, like, I won't be able to fully process everything until I know who the replacement is. Because, I mean, if you've listened to this show, I mean, our number one thing, at least with me, is you've heard this word coming out of my mouth plenty of times on the show. Who's the architect?
Yep.
Well, at that time, my worry was only the architect of 5G. Now it's who's the architect of DC? Is it just Jim Lee?
As of right now, what every article has said is that he, until the replacement is there...
Because he's the head of the film division.
Well, it says here, let me see if I can pull it back up. It says right here, where is it? It says, like, Jim Lee is acting as both sole publisher and whatever. Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah, the co-publisher and of the DC Films division. I mean, he's like the head. I think he's like the chief creative officer of the films.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. And then the other part that's kind of, it's kind of bummy. I can understand if you're happy about the news, but because, you know, obviously you want like a change or something. I don't know, but it just, to me, it feels really crummy when you're seeing people celebrate the way that somebody's leaving. Or somebody's gone, and you do it in such a way that you're kind of just, you know, like talking trash for somebody. Because to me, it just makes me question, like, who you are as a person. Or it makes me kind of, I don't know, it's one of those, I don't know, like, how desperate are you for clout, you know?
Yeah.
That it's kind of like, man, the hearts, the retweets can't be worth that. Like, for you to actually, like, lose yourself. Because, I mean, even with you, like, you know, like, sometimes when I know that you get a little heated with, like, Bendis things, I mean, I'm like, man, you know, the guy still loves it, man. You might not just like what he's doing. But it's like, you know, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I see that, and it's... And the worst part is that, you know, some of it comes from mutuals. And some of the mutuals that you know, I was like, dude, I mean, this wasn't even you, like, a year ago. But now it's... You know, the clout has, like, completely overtaken just for, I don't know, man. It's kind of bummy. It's bummy.
It is. And, you know, like I said, I think this is the best thing to move forward with the DC Comics stories.
Yes, I agree.
But I would never, you know, look at Dan and say, you know, excuse my language, but go fuck yourself. You know, I would never say that to Dan. You know, now, when talking about the architect, you know, I made the joke to Chris and Jordan over at the Suicide Squadcast that, you know, wake me up from this nightmare if Bendis moves up in the ranks.
I mean, you even joked about quitting the podcast.
Yeah, I told Abby, my wife, you know, I'm being a little overdramatic, but you know, it's something to worry about for me.
I'm pretty sure Kevin would take your place quickly. I think he would nominate to join.
Oh, I believe so.
Or I'll just have to like go to Chris and Jordan and say, hey guys, you guys need a co-host. I don't want to start a new one again.
But the thing is, the one thing that worries me, if AT&T were to say, hey, you know, us hiring this guy for DC and it hasn't been showing in his writing, let's move him up in the ranks to do something like this. My only worry is Bendis loves the hype of today. And then the next day, he loves the hype for that day. So he will literally make decisions based on what he sees in a tweet, I feel like. And so...
I don't know about that, just because you see how slow his stories materialize. So because his stories take so long, I feel like he's willing to... Now, I can see what you mean in terms of him wanting to create like another book, and maybe that's why he has like 12 titles under his name. But I think like within the story, I don't see that, because man, this guy's, it always takes a year for the story to like finally come full circle. Now the question that I have for you though, because I think I know your answer. But I hear a lot of people say what they like about Bendis is that Bendis conceptually has good ideas. It's the actual dialogue, which is what many people have issues with. So are you against Bendis? What are you more against, his concepts or his dialogue? I know you hate his dialogue. Like, I know that. But I don't know if you hate his concepts more.
I don't like his concepts because he thinks because he hasn't written them, like, if anybody has written them, they're not good enough. His name needs to be on the book, and then it's gold. That's my only problem.
Okay.
And, he even made comments about Dan yesterday, but then he quickly made it about him, and I don't like that. Like, if you're going to say goodbye or, like, how something isn't fair and how, like, Dan was this great guy that let me do whatever I wanted, like, yeah, we've seen it. Like, we've clearly seen it. But, like, don't make it about you. That is the only problem that I have with Bendis. Bendis only cares about Bendis.
Like, there is zero shot that we can have a show if Bendis is the architect. Like
he only cares about his book and his artist. Now, he's thrown his artist under the bus before, and then there's times where he's covered stuff up for his artist.
Has he thrown? Again, I don't follow everything of everything.
Now, so. You know, the really big thing is I think either if it was Superman 19, I think it was. There was a big shot of the Hall of Justice. We saw Harley Quinn in like front and center, right next to Miguel from the Dial H from Heroes book.
Yeah,
and if you look behind Martian Manhunter, there's Man Bat. That's in the final, you know, book, the published book that was printed and everything. But when it was first being penciled, instead of Man-Bat, it was Deathstroke. And everybody on Instagram and on Twitter was like, why is Deathstroke in the Hall of Justice? And then he said, well, is it really Deathstroke? Like, who knows? Maybe, because he was saying the same thing with Leviathan. You know, why is Deathstroke on the team of detectives? He's like, oh, this isn't the original Deathstroke. You don't know who this is. And it's like, dude, just admit that you don't know who the character is, and you just wanted to have him in there because you think he's cool. Like, just say it. Just say it. I would much rather you say, hey, I made the mistake. I think he's a cool character. I would like to write him in the future. Okay, cool. Let's put him on a Deathstroke book and then take another book away from him. That's what I think needs to happen. Whenever he wants to write a new book, he needs to trade it for another one.
Okay, so since I know where this can go, and you can go on Bendis tangents, and I want this to be more. So if you had to choose the architect,
And the architect for DC in the future.
Yes, and now let's just say, if you haven't thought of it, it's okay. Like, you don't have to answer it, like, instead of just throwing a name out there.
Well, the thing is, everybody... I've seen people, like, say, oh, we have finally defeated the evil. Jim Lee and Scott Snyder are next. And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Like, chill out.
It's the worst. I hate it.
And it's all for the love of Geoff Johns. Like, honestly, people just think that, oh, if we basically, you know, off everybody at DC, Geoff Johns can come back. That's not how it works, people. Like, I'm sorry, but Geoff Johns knows that movies and TV pay more. And that's where the money is. And so that's where he's going to continue to stay until they stop paying him. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. Now, would I love if AT&T was like, hey, it seems like a lot of people liked you back in comics, and they offered him a nice little pay raise and, you know, did this and that and whatever and met his demands? Cool. Let's bring Geoff Johns back. But like I said, I don't think it's going to happen. But if I had to personally choose an architect for DC Comics, I think it would have to be a team. I don't think it would be one person.
Okay.
Now, I genuinely think that if you bounced ideas off of somebody like a Scott Snyder, like, because I will say, when he first started, Joshua Williams was a really cool Flash writer. I really enjoyed his run. If you bounce some ideas off of somebody like the Joshua Williamson, Scott Snyder, you know, while still working with Jim Lee, who is still, you know, ahead of DC.
So you're thinking like kind of like a board.
Yes, make it into a team, a board of decisions, instead of relying on one person to be like, hey, my job is to no longer write comics. I'm just going to tell you all to write. That's a lot of pressure. And we've seen people break from that pressure. We've seen Geoff Johns. We've now seen Dan Didio. Like, the next person is just going to break. You need to make it into a council, a board, or whatever. And I think it'll work better.
See, sometimes I wonder, like, if these are those opportunities where... I mean, I know it will never happen, but if there was somebody kind of like a Karen Berger who was from, like, Vertigo, and now, I mean, yes, now she has, like, the Berger books, or Berger.
Yeah.
Man, I don't... Yeah. I'm probably butchering her last name. I'm just going to say Karen Berger. Berger books? Man, Berger... I don't know. One of those.
You're going to make me hungry.
and now she's in... I'm going to screw this up. I believe it's... Is it Dark Horse? No. Yes, Dark Horse. That she has her own...
I believe she is in Dark Horse,
she has her
yes.
imprint with the Berger books. That mm-hmm. Berger... I think it's Berger. it bothers me, man. That, I mean... And people are loving what she's doing there. That, man, I would love... I know that for her, it's about the storytelling. It's storytelling is first, and that's why, I mean, look at all the hits that came out of Vertigo. Look at what's coming out now, like Black Badge and et cetera. I mean, there's really big, like, to have someone along the lines, like, man, was there like a prodigy that was from Vertigo? I would love to have, but I mean, it's got to be. I mean, I guess you got to have the love for the superhero, you know.
Yeah, which Vertigo was for everybody else. Yeah. Vertigo really was. Now, don't get me wrong, when they had the opportunity to bring a hero in, they definitely did, because they wanted to play in that playground. But, you know, there was a lot of people who didn't want to go along with the rules of the DC books, and they're like, hey, I want to bend the rules a little bit, I'm going to go to Vertigo. And
oh, absolutely, that's what I mean, because this is an opportunity for a fresh start. So yeah. If you can have a fresh start where, again, I don't know what people are going to think about it, but I don't know. Like, because I know there's the continuity police. That's why I'm like, I just don't know if people are going to want another New 52. But the thing is, like, a New 52 really without, ironic. Like, these weird threads, because Batman never changed and Green Lantern never changed, because Geoff Johns was not going to change everything that he's done. So that's what made New 52 weird from the get-go, is that there's continuity issues even with it starting. I don't know, but if there was less, maybe, okay, maybe not somebody invert, but somebody that has, like, that passion for, like, story, creative freedom, and but it has, like, that level of, I don't know, thinking a little bit outside the box, okay, I think
now,
I can be okay with it.
What if DC were to pull a Marvel and have, you know, Marvel recently gave, what's his name?
The CB Sobolski. Sobolski.
No, not Sobolski. Oh my gosh. Kevin Feige gave complete control over the comics division. Now, do you think that Walter Hamada should come in to DC and look at everything and be like, hey, I'm going to be, you know, the co-publisher for this and be the architect?
I personally wouldn't want that. Because for me, Hamada doesn't come with a background of superhero. So for me, it's more just business.
Yeah.
So now, I don't know. I mean, I don't. Yes, I mean, comics obviously is a
because
business,
the next
but
option.
I don't want. Because if that's going to be the case, I feel like you're going to be seeing a lot of, oh man, this is issue 3 and this has 6,000. This has 6,000 issues sold. This is nothing. Cut. Not good for business.
Yeah.
I mean, then I feel like it's going to be very cutthroat.
The next, you know, I guess, answer would have to be some random person from AT&T comes in and says, hey, I'm taking over. And then they go along with the idea of franchises and everything else. And, you know, a lot of people have said that we're going to finally move away from the single issues and move towards something like a trade and have 3 issues in one. So,
I mean, for all that I know, I mean, who knows? I mean, a lot of changes could be making because maybe they're seeing the success of Black Label. Who knows? I don't know, because
And that's the consistency that AT&T would like to see. And, you know, I had this random conversation with somebody on Twitter yesterday, and I know they're not necessarily selling a lot as far as the Walmart books, the Walmart comics, but...
Are you talking about Tim? About Hawkman, and he posted stuff like, why is DC only doing Walmart?
No. Oh, okay. Somebody made the comment. It was really funny. Somebody put a picture of Dr. Manhattan and then said... Well, I'll actually bring it up. It's actually really, really funny. So the big thing with me was that...
Is this the picture with like Dr. Manhattan like sitting by himself on the moon? Or on Mars? I never read the tweet, but I feel like I saw...
It was... Oh my gosh. Where is it? Oh, right here. Okay, so... The tweet was... The original tweet. It's 2020. Dan Didio has left DC. It's 2021. Dan Didio is now head writer of Marvel Comics. It's 2022. Mar-Vell is brought back to life. Miles Morales is now trapped in the Ultimate Earth. MJ is dead. It is now 2023. Hickman is fired from X-Men, and Liefeld is helmed for all X-Books. I thought it was a really funny tweet. Then somebody said, mighty confident either company's comic division will last that long.
Mm.
That's 2023. That's 3 years. So there are people that think that in 3 years or less, both Marvel and DC are going to be completely like done as far as their comic division. And so I said, you really think Marvel and DC will end in 3 years? They said the comic division has been bleeding money for years upon years. AT&T owns WB and has been rumored to want to cut corners however they can. The comics division is one of those unprofitable corners. And I said, DC has made their corrections to get profitable sales in trades and their youth and teen novels that have been sold in Target, Walmart, Barnes & Nobles, like everywhere. You know which ones I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. They have made really good sales on those, and they've like had the writers and artists have done signings at freaking Barnes and Nobles and things like that, bigger book stores up north and other things. There is a pretty big profit margin with those books, and I think because of the way it's formatted, it's a little bit better because it tells an entire story.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a single issue can tell a story, but it's just one part of a story that is, you know, going to end in maybe 3 to 6 issues or even longer compared to something like a Tom King run.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that, you know, there has been a lot of discussion that, you know, comics need to evolve. We saw the evolution of the digital comics, you know, early, you know, 2008, 2010, going all throughout the New 52. And, you know, this is going to make DC evolve.
Yeah.
They're forcing their, AT&T is basically forcing the hand of DC to make changes. And these are the changes that needed to be made. So we will see what happens.
Like they say in, like in Moneyball, adapt or die.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We don't know what those changes will be, whether it will be, you know, hey, you're not going to get, you know, a Batman book for 3 months. Instead, you're going to get trades. I know a lot of people would not really like that, but, or just crossed my mind, I don't think anybody would like this, but the core Justice League books, Justice League characters will all get a book, but everybody else gets a trade every few months. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. And again, I don't believe Cosmic Book News, just in case, and not, I don't want to be like seen as like a fearmonger. And I'm pretty sure Van Sciver has no real insight, and maybe he just has a bone to pick with DC. So I don't want it to be where people believe that it's something that I'm like, oh my God, it was brought to the attention with everything else that's going on. I just figured, hey, might as well talk about it and, you know, what's the possibility of it? But I don't want to believe that DC is shutting down. So
yeah,
no, we'll just have to see where the cookies crumble from here. And, you know, hopefully we'll get an announcement soon, and, you know, we can only react from there. I mean, we still really haven't heard from DC. So once we hear from DC, I'm hoping, or AT&T, so I'm hoping that once that happens, you know, maybe we'll have another episode like this and, you know, talk about, all right, well, you know, this is the news, this is the future, and, you know, we can go from there.
Yeah.
Awesome. So again, thank you again for giving us this this chance to kind of just talk about our thoughts. It's just something we wanted to talk about. And again, yeah, check us out every Wednesdays. That's when we record, so they don't hear it on Wednesday.
Hey, also, reminder, in literally like 4 days, we're going to be live streaming our show on Twitch. It's going
to
be,
that's right, I need to do my 10,
10 a.m. Central Standard Time. So please come for that. It's going to be super fun. Like I said, we're probably going to take questions before and after the show, not in the middle, but you get to see how we, you know, do this and how we talk, and, you know, it'll be fun.
Sweet.
So go check us out.
Awesome. I forgot what I was saying, so, because you so rudely interrupted me. But anyways, like he said, I'm pretty sure it falls along the lines of, you know, we have the show every week where we review DC Comics. Not so much of a news show, unless something big happens. We just like to kind of stick with what we love, which is the medium of comics and the books. And yeah, we'll go from there. So thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.
All right, see ya.